This is Tim Doyle, lead pastor of Restoration Church. Welcome to our weekly podcast featuring encouraging messages from our Sunday morning get-togethers in historic downtown St. Joseph. For more info, visit restorationstj.com.
Pastor Tim's out of town, and when he leaves, and he does from time to time, he needs to get away and rest, he turns this pulpit over to people that he trusts. And today is one of those guys that Pastor Tim trusts, and he's filled this pulpit before. You may or may not have heard him, but it's our missionary to the DR. It's Christian Humble. And I just think it's so cool to have a name like Christian Humble. I mean, first and last name. I would love to have that name because every day I could tell everyone I meet, "Hi, I'm Christian, and I'm humble." Because if you knew me, and some of you do, well, humble's an issue. You know, humility is a gift, okay? And some of us are not gifted in areas like others. But Christian's going to come, and he's going to preach the word of God to us. He's going to share his heart, and I think you're going to love it. So, Christian, come on up.
Morning. Wow. It's a privilege and honor. And it is, earlier today he said, those who presume to be teachers will be judged more harshly, you know. So we have to be living by the Spirit, hearing what God's saying, and just share what he has. Same time, if I'm on the other side receiving a word, just like you are right now, I always have my filter of the Holy Spirit. Say, God, I receive everything that's from you. Let it be activated, let it be imparted to me. And whatever's from this guy that's not of you, just let that roll off my back like water off a duck's back. Just let it be gone. So that's what we do. Anyway, he's talking about the word of God, and I'm just going to prelude this. I'm going to share a little bit about who we are, what we do in the DR, a couple stories, and then I'm going to share a word. The theme today from what God's been speaking to me is activation. So that God's going to activate things in our lives today, in our spirit. But when he was talking about the word of God, God just hit me right there in my seat. When the word of God is something that was what? Spoken of God. So a word was spoken, or it wouldn't be a word, okay? So you and I, we are living, walking words of God. I was spoken into existence. I'm on this planet Earth. My DNA is here, the body you see in front of you, because two people were intimate one night or afternoon or whatever. But the spirit and the person of Christian, my personality, the spiritual DNA, emotional makeup, was actually created and spoken forth before that. He says he knew me and he predestined me, you and I, before the foundations of the world, of the earth. So he already knew you even before he created the world. And therefore, he wanted to make a nice home for you. How many of you want to provide for your children? You want to provide a home. He naturally provided a home, and he's not a perfect home for us. So he worked hard. He thought of a plan. He did it. That's how detailed he is. He didn't just, sometimes we think of God as so powerful, he just spoke and it happened, yay, there it is. No, he actually had it all planned out intricately. He thought about what you wanted, what gift would make you happy. He thought about the people who like to fish, the hunters. He thought about the designers, the creative ones, the artsy ones. He thought about everything, the musical ones. And he created it all for you and I. It's amazing. So we're living, breathing words, walking words of God. I just want to throw that out there when he's speaking. I just believe that's for us today. So Brittany, this is my wife Brittany here. And that's her holding our goddaughter down in the Dominican. Our friend Yarlin had her baby this year, this summer. So that's her holding her. Brittany's out with ministry family out in Kirksville today. My father-in-law is out in California. We're all kind of just doing what God has this weekend. But she sends her greetings. We want to thank you all for being a family to us. I don't know if you guys know the whole story, but Brittany and I are married, and we came together in this little church called New Destiny Church down in Kansas City. And that church, through that church and through the ministry of Grace Covenant and Dallas Elder, our administrator, I call him apostle. He doesn't own that name. He doesn't have to have that name, but he is an apostle. He raised us up. Anyway, we were sent out to the mission field. We'd come back, give report to our home church, and speak at other churches. A couple years back, I think it was 2014, our church was, our pastor decided he was called back to California, where he's from, or me and him both came from, to start the church. Anyway, he felt he was called back that way, and he went. The church shortly after just kind of fell apart, and everybody decided it was time to close the doors. So we literally, with our little baby, well, now we had, hold on, at least two kids, but maybe a third baby. So we were coming back to literally no home base. We still travel and speak everywhere, but no home family. And we were like, oh my gosh, this is a big transition. You take that for granted. You can come back and just be loved on by people, go out to lunch with them, whatever, you know, talk about life, and they're gone. They're all scattered everywhere. I finally showed up at one guy's house. He was probably busy, wasn't responding. So literally showed up at his house and just engaged, and now me and him set a relationship. But I had to come back and find him, you know, search this guy out, because that's what happens in this American life we live in. So when people get scattered, they're just kind of like going through a new life, you know what I mean? So this church, it was amazing timing by God. Tim Doyle came to the DR the year before, then that year, I believe it was, and really just loved on me personally. And I realized, man, I just need someone. We all do, but I have people, but someone more local that I can reach out to that I know has my back, if anything, you know. And he really just offered, I was praying that, but he offered it to me and spoke to me and began to just love me and adopt me as his son, he said. So I get to be a spiritual son to an amazing man. Have you guys ever, by the way, have you ever heard Tim Doyle's full testimony, like the deep and gritty of his, how he was raised? I finally just heard that this last August, September. Finally, I had never felt it. I was in tears and bubbling with tears the whole time he's talking. Because now that I've gone close to him and I hear all that he went through, and now the father he is of love, when I see him, I remember talking to Will and Zach, your dad's so amazing. Like, I know I'm screwing my kids up. So teach me what he's doing. What did he do with you guys? How did he do this? How did he correct you? Because you're always nervous. You know, you're stressed. I'm a young parent. And Will and Zach are, well, he's this. I'm like, you guys are all so gentle. You're all so patient. Like, what does he have? So I just started pursuing and honoring that gift. So he's an amazing man to call a spiritual father. And especially where it came from, God just, he had the opposite in his life and now placed him as a father of many. And he has that message. And when he preaches his heart message, which I got to hear finally without having a translator or anything and just him pouring it out, I was like, wow, this is amazing. From a brokenness, unwanted, had nothing to look forward to, no hope of a future, to being the man that started this church that loves people, that adores people, that encourages everyone, that helps them, lifts them up. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So amazing testimony of this church. And Brittany and I just give our thanks and our gratitude to be a part of this, and thank you so much for having us. So that's her holding our new goddaughter down in the Dominican, the hospital there. Next page, please, or photo. What we do in the DR, for those who don't know, we have a feeding program. It goes Monday through Friday for, obviously, we're providing meals through the gifts and sponsors of people like you. And that's obviously for children, families that don't have the means to do so. So that's what that is, and we have an orphanage as well. We call it a girls' home, technically. And we're raising those young women up and watching what God's doing in their lives as they become young women. Then we have many other events and things we do, but I'm going to share a couple pictures and a couple stories. So this here is just a team that came from Northland Christian this year, and we actually went up to God's Mountain. There's a cave up there. It was a place of, I'll just say, evil worship. Everything's evil that's not of Christ, but there were a place years ago where they would sacrifice animals and just do terrible things. So the Christian people came, kind of told them, no, you're not doing that here, and rededicated this cave, this mountain, for a place of prayer to God. So we always go there like once a week and do devotion and worship. So we go into the cave after our worship time just to have quiet time with God. We thought it was going to be quiet time. It turned into be like 3 hours of loud time. This pastor here actually found out from Panama, Pastor Leonel Santana, now a good friend of mine. We communicate weekly on WhatsApp. You guys know what WhatsApp is? All right, only a couple. Yeah, WhatsApp's like the messenger of Latin America and all the rest of the world besides us, it seems like. So anyway, here they're having their quiet time, right? They're sitting down with notepads trying to listen to God and just hear him out. And then this man comes up, and I'm at the mouth of the cave, and he begins to just speak out in Spanish, of course, and they don't know Spanish. And then he had a friend that realized that and tried to interpret, but his English was very limited. And so I kind of waited back. And just as Randy was saying earlier about, you know, Tim, you guys, we want to make sure the word of God is preached. I wanted to say, before I interpret this, I want to see what this guy's saying. I don't know who this guy is. But all of a sudden, something happened, and the theme is activation. I was activated inside. The Spirit of God just grabbed me and said, this is me. I had no idea who this guy is. I didn't have time to do the background check. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of God is speaking, and I just began to interpret in English boldly what he's saying in Spanish. Pretty soon, the guy says, come on down here. I come down. He starts prophesying over me, and then I turn around. We start prophesying over each person. There's about 20-some or 40. I forget how many we had. Big group. This isn't near all of them. He begins to read each one's mail, all right? How many know what that is? He begins, this man was up there fasting and praying. I believe this is his third or fifth day. I actually got to, praise God, we got to provide his meal when he broke his fast, him and his friends, when they came down to our house. But anyway, fasting, praying, seeking God for revival in the Dominican with his Dominican friends. He's from Panama. Anyway, so he's fasting, praying, hearing from God. He begins to speak and prophesy over each one. And one young man in this group, not in the photo, he said, young man, and I just began to speak out in English, like I said, and before I knew it, what I was saying, I was hoping, wow, my mind was thinking, this better be of God, because he starts telling this young man, Satan has desire to take your life. You have heard thoughts over and over and over in your head, especially the last 3 years, I believe he said, of how you're worthless, you're nothing, you have no hope of future, things about his self-image. It just went on, and this kid's just weeping. So now I know, okay, good, that was right. So obviously this is correct, or else he would be like, you're crazy. You know what I mean? So he starts crying. He says, so you wanted to take your life, you actually have a plan to take your life. But I'm telling you right now, when I count to three, this cloud you've lived under depression is going to break, and you'll be free. So simple. When God speaks, it happens. Who lives inside of Pastor Lino Santana? Spirit of living God. It's simple. So he counts to three, prays, boom, the kid just weeps in tears. He leans on us, we hold him, we hug him, I embrace him, and I begin to speak the love of God. I feel the Father saying to his son in his ear. And that young man, I'm not joking, I couldn't believe it. When we're done, you look at him, he is radiant. He is standing different. His posture, he's not like this anymore. His demeanor, boom, focused, alert. I am a child of God. From this to this on the count of three, boom. I mean, it was amazing. That's a miracle. So there's many other stories, but this kind of leads me into what I'm going to share. So as we activate who we are, as we access the kingdom from which we're from, it becomes natural. It becomes natural to speak out the destiny of God over our brothers and sisters' lives. It becomes natural to see healings and other things. But all it is bringing everything into natural order. So God's been hitting me since that day. He's been knocking on my heart. And every time I say the word supernatural, I'm not against it at all. Everybody uses it in the church nowadays. That was supernatural. Wow, God's supernatural power. That's awesome. He said, actually, Christian, it's natural. And everything that's less than that should be subnatural. And you've lived there too long. We've lived, the church has created an atmosphere of subnatural environment. Not just the church, it's not our fault, the whole region we're in, but now the whole influence we're under. But I believe now, and I see it, that one by one, we're all getting hungry. When I stand up here, I'm literally burning inside. When we're worshiping, I'm like, I'm hungry. Spirit, break out again. Do it again. Out of our bellies, John 7:38 says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being. He didn't say from Jesus. Jesus did do this, but then he who believes in me, Jesus is saying to us now, okay? From your belly, his belly, the one who believes in Jesus, will flow rivers of living water. Do you think there's really going to be a river that just starts coming out of my belly opens up and water just starts pouring out? No. But yes, spiritually it's happening. And if we would just realize it and acknowledge it, we would be beneficiaries of it. So when the worship team is up here worshiping, any worship set, I stand here, and there's some places I go, I don't like the music, okay? There are some places I go, I don't like the style, whatever. But I close my eyes, and I honor the people that are worshiping. I know out of their, if they know Jesus, out of their belly is flowing rivers of living water, or else Jesus is a liar. I believe he's speaking the truth. So if they believe, out of them is flowing living water. And that, why? Because we need it. The Spirit of God is in me for my sake. Say this with me. Say, the Spirit of God is in me for my sake. But the Spirit of God is upon me for your sake. All right? He's in us for us. He's on me for you. He's on you for me. And he's on these worship leaders to pour out to him, but also to me. And as I'm there, I'm activated. I get more hungry than I did the first service. I want to see the kingdom. I want it. Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why would we pray an empty prayer if it wasn't his heart's cry? And it's become my heart's cry that I would see the kingdom of God every day. It's become my heart's cry. And I will, in this world of confusion, I will turn off my social media because I have to, because that's not getting me there. And I lay down and I close my eyes and I will wait until I see the King. I will wait until I see the truth. And sometimes he's just so awesome. It's not even in my hungry times anymore. Now he just drops gifts on me when I'm tired and don't feel like pressing it. But it's all because we're his children. It will never change. And so, a month back, I was driving down to Kansas City early in the morning to go work for the man. A month or two back, Emily's over here. I'm working for her dad right now, part-time. So I was driving down there early, kind of tired. I'm like, hey, I need to press into God's. I'll turn on worship music, but I'm really not getting there. I'm really not pressing in, thinking about what I got to do. And all of a sudden, God says, stir up the gift. Stir it up. Okay. And we know that's, we find it here. I'm going out of order here, guys, this time. 2 Timothy, verse 6, 7, 8. So I'm out of order. We'll do that one first. 2 Timothy. So stir up the gift, he said. Stir it up. I said, okay, I got to stir it up. And I see myself right here on this platform in this church as he says this as I'm driving. And I wasn't invited to speak, but then a couple weeks later, Tim says, will you come speak? I said, yes, I'll come speak. Because I have something for you, I guess. So whatever God has. So I'm standing here like this, and I see myself with the, I didn't bring it, wasn't obedient all the way. So the mixer to mix, you know, pancake batter or whatever, and I'm blending it. I'm, all right, stir it up. First I saw a spoon, sorry. Then I see the electric mixer. And I'm like, that's great. And all of a sudden I hear God's Spirit say, that's not stirring it up. That's mixing it. That's smooth and nice. Now keep it on, turn it on high. Turn that thing sideways and keep going. What happens? Blah, 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 blah. You know, all the batter starts going everywhere. And God says, stir up the gift within you. 2 Timothy, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you. Okay? So that's our commission. Stir up the gift. The gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, the elders' hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I don't have fear, I don't have anxiety. And if you go back and research through Timothy, he actually struggled with anxiety. One of the remedies Paul told him was drink some wine. He had probably IBS. They're all researchers that research this, probably heard about, but that would be because of anxiety. I have struggled with anxiety through my life, so I know what that is. I gotta go preach, I gotta run to the bathroom now. Okay? Anybody ever had that? Anybody else struggle with anxiety like that? Your stomach goes, and you're just like, oh no. It's really anxiety. And it takes over. And God, he's like, I know you struggle with that, Timothy. I'm like, I know this. I know this feeling. Since I was first had to preach, I've had this feeling since 17. So he says, I know. But he says, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. It's a free gift by laying on your hands. So all you have to do is activate it, stir it up. So we press in to stir it up. And how do we stir it up? I love it. People preach all the time, and I preach, and I'm like, well, how do I practically do it? I would like to recommend to stir up the gift within us. I suggest we simply seek and literally engage the source of the gift. the one who created us. Now, how do I do that? You can get on your knees, get away, get in a quiet place where you're just seeking him. And I used to have to train myself at 17 years old. I would go lock myself in a room because I learned about this and seek and engaging. And this is important. Everything I say in every rabbit trail, I don't apologize for anymore because my brother told me to stop apologizing. I go on rabbit trails all the time. But he said, do you understand when you went this rabbit trail, that was for me. This book of my divorce, this book of this. He started telling me, he said, don't apologize. Just be who you are. I said, okay. So I do my best, but I'm going to rabbit trail. So seek the source and the gift. At 17, this is for people here, you're getting hungry just hearing this. I would lock myself in my room and say, okay, I must seek. And I would lay in there and I would pray in the spirit. I would turn on worship maybe. Sometimes I'd turn it off because it'd be distracting. I'd be saying the words. So I'd just try to find music that had no words. And I said, I must learn. I must hear your voice. It says my sheep hear my voice. I don't hear you. So I'm going to find out what that means. So right now, what am I doing? I'm engaging the source of the gift. I'm learning. And if I press in, I will stir up the gift within me. So I would lay there the first day. I think I lay there half an hour, just made myself stay there, but it was hard. I just lay there. It took a few days. After work, I'd come home, lay there again. Tell my parents, I'm doing this, I don't know how long. I think it went on like 3 months. So, but I would come in, lock the door, tell everybody, please leave me alone. If someone calls, tell them I'll call them back. And I would lay there. Because I saw other men of God that hear his voice did this. This is the only thing I know to do. It says strip the gift. How do I do it unless I find the one who gave the gift? Okay? My children, my little 4 and 6 year old, they're 5 and 7 now, impressed me last year by getting my tools. I let them borrow. I thought I was just occupying them. And they actually found the right wrench and my socket set, found it, and took off the training wheels for the 4-year-old's bike. The 4-year-old did most of it by themselves, took the training wheels off, put the bolts back on, tightened it all the way down, and locked it good, put my tools all back. I look over and he's riding his bike without his training wheels. He was ready to teach himself, I guess. So I was like, what? And just so you know, I didn't touch a tool when I was 13. I didn't know how to use tools until I was 16 or so. So I was blown away. The point is, they watched their father. They engaged me. Since they're little, they cry. All my boys are like this, but especially two of them, cry if I leave. They want to be with me all times. If I'm in the bathroom, they have to go to the bathroom. If I'm in the shower, they want to help hold the soap. I'm like, dear Lord, I need space, you know. But God kept telling me since Isaiah, my first one, was so much wanted to be with me at all moments. God said, is it wrong they want their father? They will become like you. They are seeking you more than you ever know, and I wish you would seek me like that. And it was hard. We do need our mental space, but it was bad. He's up at 4 in the morning. He'd wake up through the night. It was dad, dad, dad. And it drove me nuts. I literally thought I was going to lose it sometimes. But through all of it, I wouldn't trade for the world. And the leader he's going to be and what he's doing and how he can fix things with his hands that I wasn't even taught. I just had to learn by being a missionary how to fix things because things break, you know. So they break all the time down there. So now they're taking tools, doing it, figuring out. I wouldn't even have a clue until I was 16, you know, what to do. Anyway, amazing. So we seek the Father. We engage him. So I locked myself in this room. I would lay there. And by the second or third day, I had my first vision of God. I laid there. I went to this deep place of whatever people call it, but I just went to a place of meditation before the Lord. David talks about that. It's all scriptural. Meditate on his law, you know, and seek his presence. So I was doing that. I was just, God, I know if I seek you. Some people think it's weird if I see things. Some people don't even believe that nowadays. But the point is, whatever it is, if you want to speak to me, show me something, I have to learn. So I found a place, and he takes me there still from time to time, where... Anyway, it doesn't matter, but I'm like out of it. And I can still see, but I can't. It's in the spirit. So I see this amazing field, just a huge field like wheat or grass. And I see one standing with a robe, a cloth, and he reaches out to me and goes like this. And I was like, oh, and all my spirit and heart said, I want you. I just cried it out, I want you. And I ran to him. And as I ran, everything, I began to fly, and just I went flying through the spirit, and I saw beams of light everywhere. and little like stars everywhere. And it was over, and I all of a sudden opened my eyes. I'm like, what does that mean? He said, the field's ripe for harvest. Come follow me. And every single star, the millions you just saw, represent every soul that will be saved if you follow me. I got to hear his voice. I was starving for it. And so I engaged him, and I activated the gift within. I want to lead you to another passage here. In Matthew, right? Matthew 18. There we go. Verse 1 through 5. So as I began to activate, as I began to press in, I would see him move. And I remember his story. I remember things happening in my life. I remember at 5 years old being on the bus going to kindergarten and knowing I need to preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit come all over me. And I had to preach to my friend Donald here that might not know Jesus. And all of a sudden at 5 years old, I'm sharing and it sounded eloquent in my mind. I don't remember what I said, but I preached the message, simple truth of heaven and hell, who Jesus is. And at 5 years old, little Donald's weeping and I'm weeping with him. And we pray the sinner's prayer together and he becomes a child of God. He enters in and accepts Jesus as Savior. And it wasn't because I was a good boy. It was because the Holy Spirit came upon me and I activated, but I didn't know what I was doing. And now at 17, I realize if I activate him, if I engage him, I can activate the gift within me, but it's my choice. I can just be saved. I can receive the gift. I can have my birth certificate, okay, in heaven, but I can still just walk and do what I want because it's a free gift. But why not access all of heaven? Why not get the keys to my new car? Why not open my house? Why not use the food in the pantry? Why not? My kids do it. My two-year-old starts my car, and it's scary. He gets out there all the time. I have to chase him. He's never put in gear. Praise God. But my boys want to do everything. So he knows it's a no-no. I have to hide the keys. But the point is, they want to do everything. And I was so sheltered. God's like, find your balance, but at the same time, let them engage. Find your balance of safety, but tell them, it's okay, you want to do it. Right now, you can't. At 10, you can drive. I told Isaiah already, for sure, I'll let you drive on the farm when you're 12. Because my friend drove since he was 9 on the farm truck. Because Isaiah he's amazing. He already mows the lawn. He knows how to start everything. He knows how to activate the switch. He did it with me many times. At 6 years old, he does it perfect. Now he's 7. So anyway, the point is, let them engage. Let them utilize the gift. Let them become. Why limit them? Why limit yourself? Okay, so God's saying, let the children come to me. Remember that? Let them come to me. The kingdom of God belongs to them. Oh, the kingdom and all that's within it belongs to them. It belongs to you and I. So we must engage. Here we go. So here's sometimes the question. Sometimes I look at this, and this scripture hit me hard, and so I want to share it. Many things I reference, of course. This one, the reference of this would probably be, I believe Eric Johnson was the one I first heard this from. So I want to give honor to the tidbits of this, to who said it. So at that time, Matthew 18:1, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? When I look at this question, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? My first read it when I was younger, 17 on, I would start thinking, why does it matter who's the greatest? Like, God's the greatest, we're his servants, right? It's a nice humble approach to it. But if we read on, when they asked this question, Jesus called a little child to him and placed the child among them. So he grabs a child, puts them in the middle, it looks like. And he said, truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you engage and long and want what's out there. What's what hits me? Engage, I want this. There's part of it that's holy. It's about having a boundary of respect. But it's holy and godly to want more, to advance. So when my kid wants this, I say, hey, I want to give you everything, but right now the best thing would be this for us. And I have to stop and really pray. Sometimes I say, I don't know what's best right now, let me pray about that. And I pray and I come back and say, hey, we can do this, and this, but I can't do this right now. But I'm glad you want more. God has everything for you. But right now, what I can give right now is this, okay? And then we'll move forward from there. So if it's a toy, if it's working on something, trying to help me build, whatever, Josiah has asked me last month. He wants me to go buy wood, and he wants to build a house, a little house out of wood, nails. And I'm trying to just keep everything else fixed. And I have four kids. I'm like, man, I want him to do it because I know he'll do it. He's five. And I know I need to be there with him, though, with nails and hammers and saws. So anyway, but we're getting further. So here we go. So he called the little children and said, become like these. Truly I tell you, unless you change, become like children, you will never enter the kingdom. Did he say to those, this is among his disciples. Was he telling his disciples, you're not saved? No, you'll never enter the kingdom. Or enter could be access. You'll never access the kingdom. I always read the scripture as, oh, they can't be saved unless they do that, but they're already there. They already knew Jesus and trusted him. You won't access or enter the kingdom here and now unless you become like this. Unless you ask, seek, knock. Be relentless like my kids do. Daddy, daddy. All right? Therefore, who takes the lowly position of this child, and some other translations and other scripture says, become a servant of all, then they will be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So, right here, they're asking, who is the greatest? We think, it doesn't matter, Jesus is the greatest. He doesn't condemn them. He doesn't answer that way. He says, good. I'm going to tell you how to be the greatest. He really wants them to be great. Jesus wants you to be great. God did not create inferior, subnatural, weak human beings. He created people out of his image. Colossians says, by him, for him, through him were all things made. Okay? By him, for him, through him are all things held together. So the very matter, the nuclear, the molecular structure, correct? Of this material, of wood, of the floor, of the soundboard here, of me, it's all created by, for, through Jesus. And by, for, through him is it held together. So when people say, well, they don't believe in God, or they don't experience his presence, or whatever their argument is, it's because you already have it for free. He is here right now. There is something you can engage. You can press in and have more. And I learned that. But I already was his son. I already accepted by faith who he was. But there is so much we can access as a child if we keep knocking. And then the next door is there. Knock on that one. Oh, here's the car. I want to try that. Oh, here's this. I want to try that. And we keep pressing in. Anybody here hungry today for more of God? Anybody, is what God's speaking, like hitting your heart? I'm hoping it's hitting the strings of your heart. And you're like, yes, yes. So Jesus answered them, didn't condemn them. And he showed them how. Thank you, Lord. He's in us. He's on us. We have been Messiah'd. You are the Messiah'd of the earth. You are Christ-like. Scripture says you're not just made righteous. That's one thing. It says now you are the righteousness of God on planet Earth. I am the righteousness of God on planet Earth. That's who I am. So when I act out of character, that's me being subnatural. I say, all right, that was a mistake. Who I am is this. And as we activate God, we realize the dumpster from which we were diving for food is not attractive at all. We have the whole kingdom of heaven. We don't need to sit on this edge here and beg on the corner. We're not beggars. Everything he says is true. He spoke my very being into existence. So from him, I'm living and speaking now. And from and through you, Jesus, we worship. And from you and through you, we will access the kingdom of heaven. Will you stand with me, please? The Lord is activating within us. And for me, recently, there's always another activation, another step, another level. How many have noticed that through life, through business, through anything in life, any aspect, there's always another level. There's always more progress. There's always another step to take. It starts very simple from a child, from laying there to crawling, walking, running, then they ride the bike. It's really cool how that happens because everything else is with their own body. Then all of a sudden they start accessing other means of transportation, other means of enjoyment, things that are actually outside of just who they are. When they realize the world around them, skateboard, I want that. I want a scooter. Do you see the parallel here? Do you see the parallel? And as we get further, and as we activate the gift of God within us, we will get more and more. We'll say, I want to prophesy. I want to speak out. I want to be with God, not because it's for me. I want my light to shine so that the whole world will see my good works and glorify my what? My Father who's in heaven. So they'll see your works and say, good job. But then they'll realize, where did that come from? And we just point naturally to the one, the source. So right now, God's activating. I saw this morning, just as I told the other service, a giant breaker box inside of everybody's spirit, a big breaker switch, sorry. So yeah, I just think of those switches, they're just like, they're kind of tough sometimes, but when you go boom, sometimes you got to reverse them, then hit them back forward. Then they click on, there's power, the light comes on. And so I just saw that real, just vividly, as I closed my eyes in prayer. God said, they all have it. And just make sure. I want to make sure it's all activated, it's turned on. You already have the Holy Spirit within you, but it's time to stir up the gift. It's time to engage, and some already are, and it's great. But some of us, we're at the threshold of a beginning, just a beginning. We're new with the Lord, maybe, or maybe you haven't even started walking with Jesus yet. And the things I'm talking about are very inspiring, very maybe eye-opening, intriguing, but you don't know exactly what it means yet, and that's okay. So maybe you're on the threshold of like, I just want to walk through this door first and just check this out. That's awesome. That's fine. But some are saying, you know, I'm pushing through. I've come to this plateau, and we always do that. We come to this next plateau. And why are those plateaus there? Because there's another level to go to. We are being transformed. Corinthians says we're being transformed into his likeness with ever increasing glory by the Spirit of the Lord. Thank you. If you want to just close your eyes, if you want to put your hand to heaven, however your posture before your Father is, the Lord wants to minister to you. Thank you, God. It's been prophesied over my life that I would have a healing ministry, that I would see many miraculous things, and I have. I've seen them. I see them a lot. Yeah, praise God for that. But you know what my ultimate cry is every day? That I would know him more. That I would please his heart. And right now, if you really just close your eyes and you dig deep down, you just want to know God and you just want to please him. And from that place, if you seek first the righteousness of God, then all these things will be added to you. So let's engage today. And from your posture of worship, will you please repeat after me if your heart is willing? Father God, activate the gifts of the Spirit within me. I want to know you. I want to be used by you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are in me for my sake, but you are upon me for their sake. I have been anointed. I am Christ-like, and I will activate, stir up the gift within me. I will go out every day as who I am, a child of God. And people will see heaven. They will experience you and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to stick around. I'm going to head over this side. And as we kind of close out here, if you're like, man, I need that, or I need experience, or I want to meet Jesus. There's maybe some people, leadership ministry team on this side as well, I believe, and I'll head to this side. As we just worship here, we just want to give the Holy Spirit time, give yourself time as well to engage him, to press on to the next level, next step with him. It's amazing what he's doing. Real quick, the whole deception right now that's going around, we see on Facebook, all the political stuff going on. It's all right. There is stuff that's true and whatever. But the point is, the Spirit of God speaks. And so why don't we just, as Christians at least as believers, access him and just display what he says. Because as we do, that becomes the reality around us. Okay? So I'm not going to access the dumpster because I don't want that to be the reality. It's not real. I'm going to access heaven and seek for the answers of God because the earth is looking to us for the answers. They're not going to get them anywhere else. Okay? So let's seek him first. Let's display his righteousness. Let his goodness follow.
Thank you so much for listening today. To connect with or support the vision of this pioneering work in historic downtown St. Joseph, visit RestorationSTJ.com or better yet, come see us in person this Sunday at 9 and 10:45 a.m. We hope to see you soon.